Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I want to talk to you today about having purpose in the doubt. I know that you say, well, Greg, that doesn't really go together, having purpose when you're in doubt. And yet, friends, I believe that it does, because that's when our faith becomes real. The Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. And one of the hardest things I think about being a follower of Jesus is that so many times we just have to walk in faith. Yet, it's the thing that makes it real. And when I have been faithful and trusted God, and it's been painful, and there's been sleepless nights at times, and there's been tears. Yet, when God comes through and answers that prayer, it's just so powerful, and it just rejuvenates my faith and helps me to be stronger in my trust in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And so, first of all, you have to have a personal relationship and say, you know what, I want to put my faith, my life in Jesus Christ and accept him as my Lord and Savior. But after you've made that most important decision, then it comes down to just sometimes when, even though you don't know how it's going to play out and everything seems hopeless, by God, I'm going to trust you. Just like Job, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And Jesus said, hey, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trials and tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And in me, you will have peace. And somebody listening today or watching on our YouTube channel, you needed to hear that. Sometimes the enemy lies to you and makes you want to think, you know what, God must not really love you, or God must not be on the throne today, because if he was, he wouldn't allow you to be going through this trial or this tribulation. And friends, I want to lovingly remind you today that this is not our home. This is not heaven. And on this side of heaven, that unfortunately there is trials and tribulations. There's suffering, there's disappointment. But the good news today is that God has promised he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And that great is his faithfulness. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be hanging out in John 1 and chapter 1, and then in John chapter 3. And tomorrow we'll get into Luke 7 some. But purpose in the doubt, basing some of this off of a wonderful movie called Ordinary Angels that came out in late February in the theaters, based off a true story that happened up in the Louisville, Kentucky area. And the main stars, the main parts were played by Hilary Swank and Alan Richardson. And if you're looking for a good movie to watch this week, would really encourage you now. It's available to stream, get online. I just really, really would encourage you to check out this movie. I think you're really be encouraged. I laughed when I watched it at the theater, shed a few tears, but just powerful, a true story that actually happened here in Kentucky. And, you know, we talk about doubt, and, you know, there's moments I think we all have when we wonder if God is even there. You probably can recall a time when your faith was strong, but then circumstances changed over time, and Satan's whispers and questions begin to take their toll. And spiritual truths, which had become black and white in your life, they gradually started to become gray. Such was the case for a man in the New Testament who was the last person you ever would think would doubt the identity of Jesus. That man's name was John, but probably knowing better by his nickname, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one that was foretold by the Old Testament prophets to prepare the way of the Lord and to make straight paths, and to let people know that the arrival of the Messiah was at hand. I mean, you're talking about a big responsibility. But you may not remember this, but John was actually Jesus' cousin. John was the older cousin by about 6 months. And John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance, but he spoke of one who was coming, whom he was not even worthy to untie his sandals. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 29, it tells us, he sees Jesus coming, and John says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So to say that John the Baptist was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would be an understatement. And what a moment it must have been when Jesus humbled himself and he had John the Baptist baptize him, and a dove came down from heaven and descended upon Jesus. And John the Baptist overheard this audible voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I would say in that moment, John must have been pretty certain of Jesus' identity. Let me pause for a moment. You know, sometimes, man, I can get really busy doing things for God, and I short my time of spending time with God. And friends, I know for type A personalities like me, you like to do things, you're a doer, and man, it's just how God's wired you up, and that's okay. But at the same time, friends, I got to remind you today, because I know I need to be reminded when I was putting this program together, that, you know what, if you didn't do one more thing for God, he would still love you. And sometimes it's okay to say no, or say, you know, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. Please ask me again in the future. And for my fellow people pleasers, I know that can be really, really tough sometimes. And I'm trying to get better about putting boundaries in and trying to protect a Sabbath and just honoring God with resting. And I struggle with it. I've shared that off and on over the past 6 years. But, you know, I'm a work in progress, and God still loves me. But I just think that's so powerful that Jesus had not done anything yet. He had not performed his first miracle. He had not taught anything, anybody, okay? Yet, obviously, he was God in the flesh. But he was simply obedient and got baptized. And then God's voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And so a couple things. Number one, if you haven't been baptized, all right, there's people I know, they were sprinkled as a kid or they were dedicated. But friends, Jesus was 30 years old. And so I feel like somebody listening today or watching on our YouTube channel, you needed to hear that. And I want to encourage you today to know that you're never more like Jesus than when you get baptized. And just the symbolism of it, the death, when you get baptized, you're dying to self. You're saying, you know what? I'm no longer, okay, my Savior. I'm accepting Jesus not only as my personal Savior, but I'm inviting him to be the Lord of my life. And it's so powerful. And then the symbolism of when the death, and then you're saying that, you're dying yourself. And the burial, when I place the person underwater, burying the old past, okay? Then you come up in out of the waters, resurrection and new life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. Friends, it's so powerful. And if you have not been baptized before, I really want to encourage you to do that. I would be honored if you have not been baptized. Please reach out to me and go to our website, hopeisheretoday.org. And man, you'll just, it'll be the greatest thing you've ever done. And I just don't waste another second day. Don't put that off, friends. And it's just when you come out of that water, I was just fortunate to baptize a lady that she had kind of been on a detour and showed up at church because a 97-year-old lady, her neighbor said, "Hey, can you give me a ride to church? I can't drive anymore." So she was just trying to be a nice neighbor, started doing that, and next thing you know, God just started speaking to her through the messages and the sermons, the songs, those Sunday mornings. And next thing you know, she said, "You know what? I want to be baptized." At the age of 65, she surrendered her one and only life to Jesus Christ. And man, just to see the glow on her face after it was over, and I want that for you, okay? I want that for you. So if you've not been baptized, I really want to encourage you and challenge you to make that happen. And if you've not, I would be honored to baptize you. We can do that at Gardenside Christian Church, where I'm pastor also, and would love to be a part of that special day. And just, you'll be so, so glad that you did. All right. But we look back to John the Baptist there, and, when people started flocking to Jesus after that, of course. Well, you got to remember that, John was the man at first. And so, people, he understood all that. But it's like when circumstances change in our life and things like that, sometimes uncertainty creeps in. And for John the Baptist, all of a sudden, he wasn't the guy. He was not the guy. And, you know, I love just his humility, though, in John chapter 3, verse 30. And it's one of my life verses that I have to be reminded quite often. They came to John the Baptist and said, hey, who do we follow? Do we follow you or do we follow Jesus? And I love the response that John the Baptist gave. He said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And that's just the ultimate act of humility, because John the Baptist was the guy and people were following him. And yet now, all of a sudden, the crowds are following Jesus. But when people are confused, he put himself second. And I'm just so thankful that John was willing to do that. What a great model that was for him. But, you know, one of the things about John the Baptist was his preaching style was a lot more controversial than Jesus at this particular stage of Jesus' ministry. Now, later, that was a different story. But at the beginning, John was definitely much more controversial. And John didn't hold back. Today, we would kind of say John wasn't politically correct. he wouldn't compromise regardless of who his preaching might offend. And in time, it offended a man by the name of Herod. And here's a little bit of background. Herod had taken his own brother's wife and took her to be his own, and he got rid of his own wife. But John the Baptist didn't shy away from this. Instead, he called Herod to repentance. So as a result of this public embarrassment, Herod threw John in prison, and now all of a sudden, things are starting to change for John. And you know, friends, when circumstances change in our life, when surroundings start to hit south, you know, John's case for enlisting crowds are reduced from a mass of people to just the criminal who's chained to you. Let's be honest, it can take a toll on us. And, you know, I'm not just talking today about John the Baptist situations. I mean, life's curveballs can raise questions of faith in all of us. John had been in prison for several months. His influence had decreased. I mean, his self-esteem was down. It must have been really difficult for him, because he was accustomed to living in the wilderness, and now all of a sudden he's being confined and cooped up in a prison cell. And the Jewish leaders, they did nothing to intercede for John the Baptist. And it also seemed like Jesus was doing nothing to intercede for him. And I want to remind you, they were family. They were cousins. You know, maybe John was frustrated that Jesus hadn't gotten politically involved like he had, especially when it came to Herod's situation. And besides, Jesus had also talked about a revolution and about a kingdom. And John is probably thinking, well, when is this going to happen? When's this kingdom going to start? And the Bible tells us that John the Baptist begins to doubt who Jesus is. It says, you know, in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, which is the book of Isaiah that quoted the prophecies about the Messiah, John the Baptist was probably thinking about these. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6 says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. These are all things that the Messiah was going to do. Or perhaps John the Baptist thought of Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. That the Messiah is going to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in the darkness. So John's probably sitting in a cell thinking, if he came to set the captives free, hello, I'm a captive, set me free. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we look at purpose in our doubt. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.